Hi, and welcome to episode 3 of The Intimate Show. A show that is all about talking about intimacy, sexuality, connection, masculine, feminine energies, sacred union within us, with others, everything that's actually linked to any kind of deep connection, I realized. That's why I added the word intimacy and the word connection. I also realized recently that abuse will also be discussed. I already have somebody who wants to talk about abuse because it's all connected, and I'm not going to do that to scare off people, but I want people to be aware of what's really happening so that we can collectively resolve everything at the core. Being aware of what is happening and why we're doing what we're doing. Because for many people, intimacy and sexuality is like, that's also beautiful. Yes, it can be very beautiful, but unfortunately, many of us did not experience that yet, or experience only the dark side of it. And I really want everyone to be able to experience that beauty. And we have had the hashtag MeToo movement a few years back, which was one of the first times where I started talking about my own sexuality and what I went through. And eventually it led me to organizing this show, thanks to my new friend Anel, who invited me on her show to talk about this subject a few weeks back, which was like really stressful for me. But then I felt like, okay, she's going to invite men, I'm going to invite women for now. But I already have a few men in mind who I also would like to invite. But more about that later on. Today we have a beautiful guest, Jenny Lee Posh from Seattle. We met in a Facebook group of personal development. We both felt to start a mastermind group, and we did. That was already many months ago, and we're still having a weekly talk, which has been very inspiring, encouraging, supporting, fun, yes, lot of fun, lot of laughter, crying, I don't know yet if we ever cried. Yeah, actually we cried from laughter.
Yeah, okay.
And it was supportive in the way that sometimes we have these difficult times and then it's good to get another perspective. And I now realize it's also something that contributes to this show coming off the ground, because it's about the interaction, it's about the exchange between people that is really feeding us and helping us grow. So thank you, Jenny Lee, for jumping in that day and having been present every meeting except for one, I think, or maybe two. We used to do it 3 times a week, so that's okay, but you have been there, and now it's up to you to share who you are and what you do and why.
Well, first I wanted to just comment on like that it has been really awesome to do that mastermind, to co-create that space with you, and it's been a while, hasn't it? When was it? It was like the beginning of the year or something, or was...
Yes, because it was before the lockdown, which started here in March, because we had an early lockdown.
So it was a while, okay. So I'm Jenny Lee, and let's see, who am I? That's such an interesting question. I like to answer that in a way that's not just, what do you do? You know,
that's the boring part.
That's the boring part. Who am I? Oh, I'm a very creative person. I am a consciousness nerd, so I'm all about everything involving consciousness. I would go deep into the quantum field with you. And I'm a dancer, and I love to move my body, and I'm really experiencing much more these days the power of really being centered in my body and doing life with my body, right? Not like trying to force my life through my body or something, but doing it with this amazing vehicle.
And you're in a group, right? For the dancing.
Yeah. My ecstatic dance group here in Seattle. And then I also started a group dancing community through a different group. And then for an event that I'm doing this Saturday and Wednesday called Be Seen Play Shop, we dance there too.
Wow. So, a lot of dancing, a lot of moving the body.
Yeah. So, and I guess I kind of already talked a little bit about it, but I'm a coach. I'm a dynamic life coach, energy healer, trained in hypnotherapy. I've studied kind of like lots of different things. And I love to uniquely bring all of that in, right? So I think that everybody is going to have a different experience of coaching, or even of coaching with any particular coach, because hopefully we are creating that as a really individual experience for people, and kind of co-creating that relationship with them. And so that's my philosophy, at least. And my coaching business is called The Dynamic Way. And so why I call it that is because, as you know, the word dynamic, right? It means like a constant change. And yeah, and I look at it as sort of embracing the fact that we are always in a process of change, and that we can really harness that and not be at the effect of it, but use that to really consciously and intentionally create the change that we are looking for ourselves individually, for the world. Yeah. So that's why it's called that.
Interesting. Yeah, because I generally talk about riding the wave.
Mm.
But you're describing it differently. But in the end, it's the same, because when you ride the wave, basically you're also creating a motion. Because you're on the surf plank, you actually, on the surfboard, you also make a motion, you influence already. So, and you're choosing which way you want to go, if you want to be splashed by the wave or you want to ride it and go very fast. So yeah, it's an interesting way of putting that.
And it's a little bit deeper than that too, right? So I really like that idea of riding the wave, because one thing that does is it moves you from reaction. So, you know, if we're not riding the wave, as we begin to just kind of bring more intention into our experience, then we're reacting against it. But after we kind of like, you know, or as we allow ourselves to ride it with more of that reclaiming of our power in the situation, how we get to center ourselves in our own experience, then we can actually move into this place where we realize that we are creating the wave. We are creating the wave in our reality, in our world. Each of us has our own individual experience of that, right? And so then you get to be like, okay, how do I want to actually choose? What do I want to choose for my life? How do I want to create this wave?
Huh. Interesting. I can already see some people like, no, you cannot create the wave. Okay. If they would say that, they would say you create the dance on the wave. Just for those who are stubborn. Because yeah. You're dancing like, on the surfboard.
Yeah.
But on the moment the wave comes, so we need to wait for the wave of energy to ride it, but then we create a new motion, which also is a wave. Like this show is the motion that's riding the wave of the energy that came, which is basically saying we need awareness in this field. So I took my surfboard and was like, okay. And then I create motion. And then you join in, you create motion. Heather joined in, created motion. Ninka joined in, created motion. And Tucker joined in, and we created a completely different motion, which went into a different show. But yeah, so yes, there is this flow of energy that's already there. But then we build on that.
Mm. You know, and what I would say too is like, take what either of us say however that's most empowering to you, right? So like, no matter what I say today, if it feels lighter for you, if it feels expansive, then that's part of your truth. You know, then that's something that you should take with you or can take with you, right? But if it doesn't, then
no, you should. You should.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying not to use that word anymore, right?
Oh, I don't care. I do. I come at a punch. Like, wake up, people. Listen to different people. See the different perspectives. And then when you resonate, that's what you take. Because in the end, isn't that what we're doing? I mean, most of us, we have so many teachers on our path. And then we take the different things, like you were describing. You studied all those different sciences and techniques and whatever you call them. And then you use what you need to use in the moment you need to use it. And that's how they give the unique experience for that person. And then the next person comes with the same problem. He gets a different experience because it's a different moment, different person. Even when it's the same problem, because it's a new moment.
You want to know something interesting about at least from my perspective, about people who like to study a lot of things. I'm just kind of realizing now in this conversation is that like what we're doing is we're reminding ourselves of our own power, you know? So it's like, it's kind of a looking outward thing, but the looking outward is to sort of open up what was already within, right? Yep. And sometimes, some of us, like, really love to play with other folks in that journey of doing that. Some folks, I think, like to be more internal and, like, they just have their truth. They want to only listen to themselves, you know. If that works for you, awesome. And then I was contemplating as you were describing this, like, for those of us who really, really enjoy, like, I want to take that class, like, sign me up, you know. It's like, it's almost like we're doing that same thing, but we're just, like, playing with other people in that process.
Yeah, and it is true, because sometimes I just need to hear or attend just one session, and then it's there. I know how to do it. Because it's not like I learned and then other people are doing like full weekend or whatever, and I'm just 1 hour there, I see something happening, and it just like it wakens up something in you, and then you know. And maybe they took many other things, but I took what I needed to take, and then I can apply it. I mean, like you did hypnotherapy. I was invited as a guinea pig to a self hypnosis course. So the people were there like a full weekend, paid a lot of money and spent many hours. And I was just there for 1 hour. But in that 1 hour, I just integrated. I did my own healing. I integrated and I could use it after that because it was something I was supposed to remember.
Yeah.
And sometimes I need to spend a lot of time on something and yeah, that's it. Then apparently I didn't learn it before. So, okay. Do all the teaching, or I need to practice more. So, talking about, let's stay in the knowledge and courses and stuff, because you have an interesting background. And so, when it comes to intimacy, sexuality, with the first thing you studied, which we didn't discuss yet, how does that fit in your reality today? Could you share something on that?
So my first deep study was Christianity. So my bachelor's was in biblical studies. My master's was a master's of divinity. Like, I went like hard into studying religion.
You were preparing to be the first female pope. Okay, that's clear.
No, it wasn't in that tradition, but but yeah, so there's a lot there to unpack about the impact of that on me personally in regard to my own journey of sexuality and intimacy, right? So I'm almost like, I don't even know where to start with that. But I will say, and maybe some people can relate to this, is that within that tradition, there can be a lot of shame around the topic of sexuality and our bodies, even just kind of like really being in them, you know, we're so kind of like out in spirit or like trying to get off the earth and just get back to heaven or whatever, right? That like we're like, okay, like I'm doing this, like I'm partnering with, like I even mentioned that earlier, right? I'm partnering with my body on this journey. You know, my body chose me, I chose my body. Like this was a really, really intentional and intimate choice that was made and creation that was created, right? And so how beautiful of that to honor is. So anyways, so that's kind of like where I'm at now, but where I was at, I guess, if I can sort of like pull that back. Sometimes it's hard to go back to the past because it no longer exists.
Yeah, I think because it's about the journey that you made, which I really, I feel like a lot of people can resonate with it because I'm meeting a lot of people who said screw you to their religion because they felt blocked, but there is still like a lot of hatred, resentment towards their old religion, where with you I've seen that you made your peace with it, and that's why I'm asking you this question, so that it can inspire other people to also find their peace in their choices and accept that it was a journey they had to go through.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I need to take a second to like gather my thoughts. But I really do have made peace with that. I haven't always felt that way. Absolutely not. So to just like validate those who may feel sort of anger and resentment, that's really real too. And that's okay. and also you can move to a place of peace about it. There was
a
lot
of... How did you do that? How did you make that transition?
Yeah, so I had to go. So first, like God and my religion was everything to me, right? Mm-hmm. It was my whole worldview. It was going to be my career. It was like everything, right? And so like when I deconstructed my beliefs, and it was kind of like a... It wasn't a fully conscious, it was like consciously unconscious. It was happening. It felt like it was happening to me a little bit, but I was also moving into that. And I know my soul was like just taking the opportunity to expand, you know, like we're moving through into something more expansive to my journey. Right. So I'm not saying this is true for everybody. Some people, the expansiveness could be through religion. So that's not what I'm saying, but for me, that structure needed to fall. And so when I let it fall, and or I should say when it fell, it was so incredibly painful. I had to grieve for a long time. I can feel it like a little bit, right? But I think what I'm feeling is just a lot of compassion for myself for that time. Because I'm not like sad or grieving the fact that it happened now. But as I talk about it, like I can feel my compassion for myself, for my own self in that journey.
Because your whole reality changed. I mean, you had to let go of everything you were believing in, because it was not just a study, it was your whole life was around that.
And there were points in my life where I had felt like God was the only thing that I really had, you know, and because I have experienced in my life a lot of like deep, deep loneliness, and through moving through that and like different things when I was a kid that happened to my family, you know, and so like where I felt very, very alone. And so so religion and God was like the thing that was there. And so I had to like move through that too, like, you know, the grief of losing the story around that was the only thing I had. Right. Ultimately, that was the story. I was never alone, but but it felt real because that was the reality I was in at the time. And so, just to explain a little more about moving through that grieving process is kind of giving yourself that time. You know, if you need that, as you need that, whatever grieving looks like for you. And then had to let myself experience anger, you know, about all of the ways in which I had put myself into the structure, into the boxes, not allowed myself to experience certain things in life. And just was like so committed to not getting it wrong and like not going to hell. I really didn't want to do that.
You're a perfectionist. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, in some I'm trying to say, like, traditions of Christianity, that's it's really easy to kind of give that message. I'm not saying everybody does, but like, there are some, and a lot of them potentially, where you kind of have to get it perfect, because the alternative is not great.
Yeah, the ultimate is a pile of wood, and then you on top, tied up, and
I
whoosh. I
know. Who knows how
did
many times
it! Yeah, but it's not just in Christianity only. I mean, I grew up in a Muslim country, and oh my God. I mean, in the village where we lived for 7 years, I think. There, I mean, you would go on the balcony, look around, you would see one tower after the other of all the different mosques, and they couldn't even agree on the hour at which they had to pray. I mean, they couldn't even synchronize that. But everyone was like, oh no, but this is the good one, and all the others are bad. There was always this separation, this segregation. And yeah, people were afraid to do something wrong. And that's not a way of living from. In my opinion, I mean, that's constant fear and being afraid that somebody will judge you or tell on you, and then of course there is this person up there who will make you burn in hell for doing that thing. And at certain moment I was like, okay, I will burn in hell because I did that thing. So why should I care from now on? Because I'm already going to burn in hell. So what does it matter what I do from now on?
Well, I didn't have the experience where where I was kind of like, whatever. I always had the thought of, like, and it's really interesting, because I've moved through, like, so many different, even Christian traditions and beliefs, in the way of looking at salvation, or and so, like, I've had experiences of when it was completely grace filled. I've had experiences where it was really, really not grace filled, and you could like barely anybody was going to get into heaven, so, and you're just kind of hoping you're one of the few. I've had the experience where I kind of aligned with the belief where you could, like, lose it and get it back, and lose it and get it back. Or, and I've had other times where it was like, no, you, like, I said the prayer, like, I'm good, I just have to remind myself that I'm good, So I've moved through them all. Yeah, so that, I mean, that in itself is an experience, to even within your own religion kind of, like, begin to align with a different way of looking at how it works. And then, switching that. And so I've gone from, like, super conservative, where I was really wondering if I should be wearing a head covering, like, should I be, like, speaking in church because of being a woman, right? Like, identifying as a woman, that, like, is this what I'm supposed to be? Is this what I'm supposed to be doing? And I was really, and part of me really appreciates my heart, because I was, like, so earnest, like, if that's what I'm supposed to do, I'll do it. I was just like, okay, I better, like, figure this out, because I get it, like, and so, yeah, so I've moved through a lot of things. And so I'll say too, on that journey of sort of me, what has been very liberating, and sort of the deconstruction of my beliefs, is that it did start out really liberating, where I'm like, okay, I'm accepting my power. I get to do, I get to be the leader, so it moved into that, right? And then it moved into, I could get to understand my sexuality different, and like, really accept it, for who that I am, and that is a it part of this too, and then, like, and so it in my from my experience, it went from, like, oh, this is really liberating, and then it just, like, snowballed, like, oh God, now it's all crashing
Out
down.
of control.
Yeah. That was my experience, but I look back now, and you're never out of control. You're, like, you are always held. You're always held. And I, like, even by, so high, however you look at that, by your own higher self, if you believe you have a higher self, by the universe, by the journey that you came here to experience, by God, by, whatever you want to call it. And yeah.
That's a beautiful insight, and it's something I can attest to, because I went through a lot of periods in my life which were really difficult, and somehow there was always something I could hold on to. It was God until I started to read more about science and stuff like that, and then I went, no, I cannot prove him scientifically. And I said, the moment I just pushed religion completely away and was only praying when shit was really hitting the fan hard. And then suddenly I was like, okay, I was feeling guilty that I would only turn back to him when things were really tough. And of course, it didn't work out well then, because I didn't fully trust and believe. I didn't know what to believe at a certain moment. And I don't know when the trust fully came back, but it was around my breakthrough when I really started to connect with my soul. And that is when I started to gradually find more the inner peace. And now I don't even have the question, does God exist or not? I mean, I'm sure it's not a white bearded man like they portray him in the Bible, or just a being that you cannot portray, that you cannot describe, like in the Islam or so. I'm like, yeah, there are also a lot of people say, but we are part of God. God is the consciousness. So I don't care which way people look at it, as long as you feel it in here. And if you find your peace, then it's fine. And when I say you find your peace, it's like really being at peace and not feeling the need to convert others or to kill others because they have a different opinion.
That's what it is, right? It's all an interesting point of view. And so I think I want to clarify too. I think, and when I said being held, I didn't want, for me at least, I don't see that as necessarily this thing that's outside of you. So your infinite nature is what's holding you in this experience, because an infinite being would not be something that could be destroyed. You know, so even if the experience feels like you are breaking apart and you're being destroyed, those are just the old constructs that are being destroyed. It's not you. And so that's what I mean by that, personally.
Yeah, and people may ask now, like, was this not a talk about intimacy? Well, this is the internal intimacy. I mean, you cannot be intimate with another person if you're not intimate with yourself. And everything we've been talking about now is exactly about that. It's the internal journey that we're going through. And as long as you don't walk that path, how can you be truthful and be really yourself with somebody else?
So here's the thing too, and I won't take credit for this idea. I learned it from Access Consciousness, and I really appreciate that. I don't want to define it. It's a thing. And so one of the things that they talk about is the idea of, you know, not a relationship, but a creationship. And so what I'm taking from that idea right now in our conversation is this part about, you know, if we are truly intimate with ourselves, we can come to other people, we can come to that experience of intimacy with other people through as a creation. So not necessarily as this is how I connect with someone, because you're kind of at that point, you're starting from what is right now, and it might not necessarily give space for what is to come and how you are always expanding dynamically, always changing, right? But if it's a creationship, if it's this thing where you are willing to meet each other in the possibilities and in more of your expansive stage, and you know, however you want to look at that, then that's something beyond, you know, beyond. I'm just going to say that. That's something beyond.
Wow, this is really beautiful. And I have two things that popped up. One was the wedding of a friend of mine, where the priest, no, it was a reverend. Yeah, in his case, it was a reverend, said, you each have your own lives, and now you're going to create a third life for the part that you are together. That was the first time I heard this concept, and it made total sense. This was back in 2008. And it was long before my breakthrough, my awakening, but it was just like, yes, this makes sense. And then not so long ago, a friend of mine, Andrew Fretwell, had a webinar, which I believe the recording is public. I will see if I can link to it. Otherwise, we'll ask him to make this public, where he talked with a guy who's living in Bali and who was talking about the quantum, the relationship of the quantum with intimacy? I believe with intimacy and relationship. Oh yeah, the quantum relationship. And he also talked about when two people meet, doesn't matter which kind of relationship, when they meet, they create a new entity between them, and that entity stays forever. And that explains why also after a friendship ending or relationship ending, there is still this something that stays, more than just the memories. And when the people's paths cross again, they're back, at least partially, into that unique energy that's between them. And this is also how they can influence each other and can be connected even when they're very far away from each other, because it's quantum. So distance is irrelevant, and it's instant transmission of information.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy that you're bringing this third perspective on it. And I feel there is more to this.
Absolutely. There's always more.
Yeah. Wow. Huh. Yeah, I'm just taking a moment to let this sink in and it's also this what I enjoy from this kind of talks. It's just stuff is coming up and yeah. It's just in the moment. There's nothing planned. Yeah, we planned that we would have a talk, but we didn't know what we were gonna talk about. Stuff is coming up the way it's supposed to.
So something that I'm thinking about right now is this sense of, as you were describing, when two folks come together, you know, and there's this thing that's created. It just really struck me as maybe the question, how much more would we honor other people, you know, understanding the sacredness of these connections? No matter what they are. And also, I really like to think about this too, the sense of like our oneness, right? Mm-hmm. So as I look at you, I'm seeing myself expressed in another person, my quantum self, my our God self, right? Not the personality of Jenny Lee.
But
you know, I'm seeing this like huge expanded part of myself that's being expressed through you. And so, and there's this sense of like in intimacy, what is really powerful is when we have full allowance of ourselves and other people, you know. And I'm also not defining intimacy as only between two people. So I'll just clarify that.
Intimacy can be between any living beings.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so, right. So when we're coming to that place of connecting with the folks, you know, so like we're not judging them, you know, like, or if we find ourselves judging, are we actually judging ourselves, or is it like a judgment that's not even ours and we can release? Would we really judge ourselves? You know, is this a societal message? would we really judge that other person? Is it something else? Can we return that back to where it came from, right? And how much deeper, you know, maybe we would walk more slowly. Maybe we would walk more intentionally into these connections. Not necessarily slow, like slow is good and fast is bad. Maybe it's fast. Maybe it's fast and intentional, and intense and intentional, you know. But there's this sense of like, if I'm staying present and I'm being in full allowance of myself, so I'm actually fully here and allow myself to be however that means, you know, and I'm allowing the other thing, right? Because we just talked about how maybe it's not even people too, to be exactly as it is. Yeah. How beautiful, how beautiful.
That is what I've been experiencing in the mastermind group. Mm. When we're talking, I can see how everyone is just relaxing. Even if it's a new person joining, at a certain moment you see like, and they just are, because they're fully accepted the way they are. Nobody's judging. Doesn't matter which country you're from, what shape you have, young, old, what you're doing, how much experience you have with this, if you're rich, if you're poor, doesn't matter. It's just you being you. Welcome, and we're open to whatever you have to share.
Yeah, so there, I think there may even be a distinction between acceptance and allowance, right? So if someone's coming and they are really aggressive or something, right? They're in a desire to like harm me or somebody else. I don't necessarily have to accept them. I can be an allowance knowing that this is what this person is choosing, and I can still make my choices in those moments. So I'm like, there's that distinction too, right?
Yeah, but this, thank you for saying this, because I realize that English is not my native language, but I just learned today this nuance, which is really crucial, and that can make a big difference when people hear you talking. So thank you for clarifying that. And I know that a lot of the people who are listening are also not native English speakers. So hopefully everyone learned a new word today, which would really make that difference by being punched in the face or getting a hug.
Yeah, you know, so yeah, like being in full allowance does not mean you get walked on. You know,
yes.
No, sometimes people, I think even, you know, those of us that speak English our whole lives, like it's we can still kind of meld those two together, right? We don't always have a distinction between that as well, but I just thought it was important to bring up.
It's a very important one, and I would like to share an experience I had last year, I think, that I was in the park talking on the phone with a friend of mine, and we talked for 2 hours or so, and then after we hung up, I got up and I started walking again, and then I was having this sensation, and I was like, "Huh?" And it felt like exactly the same as after a wonderful lovemaking, but the kind of lovemaking that is so intimate. Mm-hmm. And at first my mind was like, how's that possible? We don't have that connection. We don't feel this thing. We didn't talk about this. And then came the realization. And it has to do with a choice of word that works in the Netherlands. So in Dutch, making love is vrijen, which comes from the word vrij, which is freedom. So it's being free.
That's cool.
And I realized then, like, ha, I was so free in that conversation. The both of us were so free that you get in that space of ultimate intimacy. You just talk about whatever is coming up. And we were both also in a very nice place. So we were both very relaxed. And that's also what was happening when I was having these few times, this love experience where I really felt the same and had that feeling for up to 48 hours, where most people, after 10 minutes, the feeling is gone. But because it was so deep, and that is what true intimacy and connection, which go very, very close together, can lead you to, can bring you to experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And so it's being free, really feeling free of being yourself, your true self, which often we're not, because we wear all these masks. It starts with makeup, it starts with certain haircut, with certain clothes and whatever. For very long I used to say, you want to see if a woman is beautiful? Take the fireman hose and it will blow up all the fake stuff, and then you can see the true beauty of the woman. I know it's a very harsh way of saying it, or saying this in my early 20s, but it's about taking away all the stuff that we're hiding behind and being really you. And the funny thing is, in this 4-day challenge we've been doing, I've been talking with many different people, which maybe I would not walk up to them and start talking with them, but because we were thrown together in small groups and we had to listen to each other, we were in the position to just observe and then start to see the true person. And with each of them, I could really see their beauty, even if they were still going through stuff, like we all are going through stuff, and we still wear certain masks, but I could really see that beauty. And there was such a nice feeling to just be there and observe and see people. And because we all created that space, they fully opened up. And literally one person even had his big aha moment and realized where his strength was. Mm-hmm. And decided, okay, I'm taking back my power. And that's only possible when you allow people to really be in their truth.
Interesting, yeah. Well, I mean, my mind got sidetracked on something.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna be like, wait, on something you said, but now I can't fully grab it all. I think there's that. So, being fully yourself, right? It starts with yourself. It starts with yourself. Like, we can be the space that invites others to show up fully, you know, whatever that means. I don't know. Like, I don't like this distinction between like fully. Not whatever the opposite of that is, not fully. I can't think of that word, but limited.
I didn't see half of me now.
it's like allowing yourself means that what you are choosing in that moment, you're not judging it. Yeah. It's not good or bad, you know, because sometimes when we say show up fully, we get this kind of story in our mind that it means sort of like extroverted and like I have to put all this energy out there. It's like that's not fully, you know, like that does not mean what that means. So whatever, like, allowance of yourself means what that means to you in that moment. And just being able to step back from the part that we've been kind of programmed and trained into to decide whether something is good or bad. So decide whether we are good or bad in this moment. You know, it's very much sort of like directed at ourselves.
So the allowance also, like intimacy, starts within, and only then you can apply to others. Because if you don't allow yourself, how can you allow others? If you don't love yourself, how can you love others? If you're not intimate with yourself, how can you be intimate with others?
Yeah. And so I don't know if I necessarily need to look at it as kind of a linear thing, right? Like, you have to start here and then you can move there. I bet there's freedom in that, right? So we also talked about how, and I know that I'm not going to necessarily say anything solidly because, you know, like, you don't necessarily have to, right? You don't have to choose a point of view. Like, you can choose whatever point of view you want to take that is working for you. Understanding they're all points of view, right? And so, like, so when we talked about how, like, the cosmic self, right, is that other person. So if I'm allowing the other person to fully if I'm just an allowance of them, maybe that is me being an allowance of myself.
Yeah,
and so maybe it's this journey where, you know, as we're currently experiencing each other as separate things, it'll be this journey where it's kind of like happening simultaneously can also be part of it. And also, I'll say, like, if right now you being an allowance of yourself is the most expansive thing you can choose, like, do it. Go into yourself. Be for you right now. You know, or if right now, like, you're really working on being an allowance of other people, maybe that's where you want to be choosing right now. You know, so like give your, I would say instead of, for me, instead of sort of like telling someone, here's your path to something, I'm always like, what is working for you?
Yes, you know? Yes, true. And I realized what I was saying. I was like, yeah, but I myself only started allowing myself because some people allowed me. So I realized that there was some space for me to move into. So if they wouldn't have mirrored it to me, I would not have known that there was actually a space I could go into and start to allow myself. So it goes both ways, and you need both sometimes. If you don't see it yourself, somebody will come and hold you that mirror and show you like, hey, there's this other thing, there's this space in you that you can open. And so, yeah, thank you for pointing it out, because I literally saw a few people who did that for me so that I could take those steps and evolve.
Yeah.
And thank you to those people. They know who they are.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whoa. Is there something that you feel like this is really something you want to share now before we close? Like, okay, this thing that came in earlier, but I really need to say it. People need to hear this. Whatever it is.
I'm not necessarily getting some message or anything.
But there is something.
Perhaps.
No, I can hear that. I can feel something is coming. So that just you have something you want to share. Don't judge it. Just let it out.
I'm always intrigued whenever someone else tells me what my experience is. Like, interesting.
Okay. I love to push buttons. And to poke the bear.
it really is interesting, though. We can have that point of view. We can say, wow, oh, that's interesting. That's an interesting point of view. You know, I don't have to, yeah. So, okay, so coming back.
Hey, so maybe it was just the laughter that had to come out.
Everything is interesting. You know, I think one of the things that I hope is that people, that they don't necessarily have to connect with the words that I said, mm-hmm. but they would connect with the energy that I'm being. And that if that is a contribution, that just makes my heart so happy. And so, you know, I don't necessarily know if my message, at least in this moment, has to be in words, but I hope you feel it.
You just being here and us having this conversation is enough. Mm-hmm. And different people get the message in a different way. Some people are just observing. Some people are only feeling the energy. Some people are reading between the lines or listening between the sentences. And whatever we transmitted today is fine. And sometimes we do not transform people, but we just plant a seed. Sometimes we just something is on your path just to park something as a tool that you're going to use in 10 years from now, and that's fine too.
Yeah, well, that's something as I'm glad you brought that up, right? Because we're never transforming somebody else. it would be such like a dishonor to that other infinite being, right? What we're doing is we're playing. We get to play in this realm with each other. You know, and sometimes it's with heavy things that feels heavy, at least in this experience that we're having, right? And one of the things that I like to do, at least in my my coaching practice is talk about it as we can hold heavy things in containers that don't also have to be heavy, you know? So we can have a lot of laughter and joy and still be talking about things that maybe have been keeping us stuck for a long time or whatever, and that may have experienced that as some level of suffering. And, you know, so like, yeah. So absolutely, my infinite being honors your infinite being. And by just that invitation, like that's what we're doing. We're just inviting people. And sometimes that can be from just the way that we are being, kind of like I was talking about earlier, and that, you know, and I was kind of inviting you into that in the way that I was being. And not that you would copy or like, you know, try to come into the way I'm being, but just that it could be that sort of invitation to be however you are. Yes. You know? Yeah. I just lost where I was going, but yes.
I got the message. And if you didn't get the message, that's it. We're not responsible here. We didn't sign a paper say we guarantee that you'll get the message. You may want to listen and watch back the whole thing. Maybe that will help. Maybe that's what's needed. Otherwise, everyone is getting what he needs to get when he needs to get it.
So it's funny you say that, right? Because I think that's where we get that. That's sometimes where we get that message, right? That we need to be kind of responsible for somebody else. Is that ultimately we're afraid? We're afraid that we're going to be held responsible, and so sometimes it's not really even about the other person, but we're kind of like taking that on because we're kind of afraid that we're going to be held responsible. But and it's not even about responsibility, not responsibility. It's what can actually be, right? Is that I can't actually do anything to change somebody else. You know, it doesn't work that way.
No, and it's interesting what you're saying here, because I realized, I mean, some time ago, but I remember it now again, that sometimes I would be really focused on the end result because the customer paid. Mm. And I was like, I need to deliver now. So the customer really needs to make that big step. And that is such a pressure you put on yourself, because how much can I influence somebody? If somebody doesn't want to move, that's it. And I literally had some people who paid me a lot of money, and in the end, they refused to move. I know they did pick up something, but it was not for them the right time to make that step or so that I was visualizing, because I tend to see the potential in people. So I could see like, I can see where they can go. And then they would go like, boop, and just stay there. And I'm like, but it's just one step and you can get there. And, they paid me, so I need to push them. It doesn't work. So I let go of all of this and even say to people now. And I started saying a few years back, and some people said, you cannot say that, it's not nice. Well, I don't care. I would say, you're going to pay me, something would add, a lot of money. So I'll be kicking your ass so that you do the hard work or all the work. And some people would look at me, and some people were like, that's okay. Yeah, I'm taking that deal. And those were the people who were aware, like, you want to get somewhere, you need to start walking. You need to do the work. And other people were like, no, if I'm giving you money, you need to fix my problem. That's why I also stopped healing. I don't heal people anymore. Okay, if close friends come to me and it's an emergency, I'll do something. But otherwise, no, I'll share all the knowledge I have so that you can learn to heal yourself. So you don't depend on me. You don't depend on anybody else anymore. You just learn how to heal yourself. Because if I'm fixing the problem for you, I'm not fixing. I'm just dealing with symptoms. Really fixing a problem is going to the root source. And you can only do that yourself. So let go of all the responsibilities. You're not responsible for anybody. Only for your own authenticity, for your own being. And then if everyone takes his own responsibility for himself, then we can actually work together and achieve a lot and grow together and have fun together. I mean, if you would say, okay, I'm paying you now, I want you to make me laugh. I'm never going to make you laugh because you're expecting me to make you laugh. It's not going to work. But if you're open to laugh and to enjoy whatever comes, then you're already relaxed. So when something even remotely funny pops up, you start smiling. And then before you know it, you're laughing. And then before you know it, tears are running down because you're laughing so much. But it's really
interesting.
You're not involved in the process. Nothing can happen.
So it kind of comes back around to the part that we talked about earlier about relationship versus creationship. And that's the same in business too, right? So are we creating this partnership together? Or do we have an expectation of what the relationship and what the outcome is? And so I think what you were saying, because you mentioned the word expectation as well, is that that happens on both sides. That can happen on both sides, right?
Mm-hmm,
so as we are coming as, you know, and I'll talk a little bit about the word healer in a second, but like healers and coaches and people who are showing up to be of support to the transformation process in other people, right? Support, right? I'm not helping them. I'm not assuming that they are inferior or in some way. It's a support is the word I like to use these days, you know?
Yeah.
But like how vulnerable is it to really stay in the present as we move through what we have committed to with each other? And so the commitment, right, is simply that we are going to show up to the space. We're going to show up to the space. You probably have a time, you know, and a designated amount of time, right? We're showing up to the space. We are showing up to co-create this space. And how vulnerable is it then? Vulnerable in the sense of intimate. How intimate, that intimacy piece, right? Is it when I show up without judging what it is that I'm supposed to be doing, you know, and this might kind of go out there a little bit, but the sense of like, if I commit with someone to be in a coaching relationship and I have decided already that means this, I have like collapsed all of the possibilities, right? And maybe it works. Maybe you can like make some level of things, you know, move in that person's life through that decision, but you make these decisions like months ahead of time, right? Like you like sometimes you sign up for like 3 months with a coach or 6 months or a year, and you both already have the sort of collapsed creation of what you're going to make. And I'm like, I'd rather, what I'm choosing is to be in a space where I'm allowing those possibilities to remain open. Like what else really is possible when I show up in a creationship with someone, even in business, you know, like, yes, we're exchanging money. How beautiful and awesome is that? That's a form of energy too, you know? And yes, we're exchanging our energy and our gifts and our talents, and we're showing up and we're allowing it to be at that intimate, vulnerable space of actually being in the present, you know? Because like, what if that person was really going to move a lot and transform a lot? But what if I made the container so restricted that they actually, you know, they weren't able to show up that way? I don't want that, you know? yeah, and two, so I'll just let that sit there for a second. But then two, that word healer, I know I mentioned that earlier too, that I was an energy healer, right? It's a word that I think people understand, and so I use it, but I want you to, I'm also of a similar, maybe like mind frame where healing is not somebody doing something to somebody else, you know? So like, if you were to think about when you've gone to see a healer, like you set that up, your cosmic self set that up for you to go be with somebody who is holding a space of greater possibility that you wanted to step into. And so you like, look at it that way. And so that's what I mean when I say healer, right? Yeah. I'm not putting, like, making anything happen on you, you know, or whatever, right?
You don't have a magic wand to say, okay, sit there. Now your ankle is fixed. Your head is repaired.
I think these things can't happen in the sense of something really amazing happening in the now, right? But what I want to say is that that's not the healer. It's not, so because that also is disempowering, right? Mm-hmm. When somebody goes around looking for healers because they don't believe that they have power, what a healer really is doing is helping you experience the power that you have. So that's my mind gone.
No, but it's very important that you mentioned this. And I actually, there are a few things now popping up. So you remember in one of the last channelings of Ann Tucker, she talked about how healing will be integrated within the medical system, and it will be regulated because it needs to be regulated. It can be self-regulated, but some regulation needs to take place. And I remember in 2015 that I felt so strongly that it was needed to set up like a trademark for healers with ethical codes, and to be admitted, they needed to have some mystery guests, just like with shops they do, to see if these people are really doing their job properly. And one of the things that inspired this is my best friend. She has encountered a bunch of really fucked up people who said they were healers and only fucked up more their customers because they were projecting their own problems on the people who are coming to them who want to solve problems. And of course, that happens when you go to somebody and you say, hey, fix me. And so I trust you, do whatever you want with me as long as I'm fixed. And then, yeah. Okay, then you're asking to get those things as well. Mm. And I believe it's your own responsibility to sense to whom to go and not to go. And if you sense you need to go to that person and you come home with more problems, it means there is stuff for you to deal with, to learn, and so on. But it's interesting that this has been coming up, and the ethics part is, I believe, the part where you are truthful with yourself. Both. The coach, the healer, the whatever you call it, the facilitator, let's say, and the client who says, hey, I have a problem, I need help from somebody. Okay, I'm going to find that somebody. Oh, I resonate with that person, so we're going to work together to do something. And the funny thing is that also the facilitator often learn something in the process. So both are evolving in the process. But the true ethics are in the internal ethics. Mm. Like when somebody comes to you for help, you stay in your truth and you don't go out there to make a buck, but you go out there to work together with somebody to reach something. And if the energy exchange requires money, that's perfect. You have the right to earn money because, yeah, you're spending your time, you're spending your energy and everything. But the primary goal cannot be what I'm going to get from something when you're going to work together. It should be about what we're going to create together. First, that energy between us. That's what I feel very strongly. And that's why a lot of entrepreneurs, and that's aside from the healers, a lot of entrepreneurs and companies are failing today, and more big corporations will collapse, mind my words, because they are built for the sole reason to get something instead of creating something. If you create a surface because there's a need and there's a problem and you're like, okay, we're going to solve that problem, and your whole focus is on creating a beautiful solution, then people will be very willing to pay for it. But if your goal is like, how can I make $1 million in the coming 6 months? And that's really your primary goal. Then you cannot be successful long term. Yeah, maybe you'll make that million, but you will not make a real difference. The difference comes from what do you want to create? And then the money will flow in. All the money that you need will flow in. Maybe you're thinking that you will make a million, you make 10 million because you need 10 million because your creation is going to be much bigger thanks to that extra money coming in. You can help more people. You can create more beautiful things.
Yeah, it's interesting. We have such like strange, and I totally have too, strange perspectives on what money is, where it comes from, you know, and often, especially for entrepreneurs, those of us with businesses or even jobs, I guess, but we believe that money is only coming, that the business is what creates the money, you know, money is
an energy.
Is, yeah. Money is an energy. Yeah. And so like, the purpose of your business is not actually to create money. I heard this from Gary Douglas, so I won't take credit for this, but like,
unless you're the printing company who prints the money, then you're literally creating money.
And you're creating. Yeah, that's funny. But the purpose of your business is not to create money. It's what are you contributing? You know, what contribution are you making to the world? What contribution are you making to other people? What are you creating? Like you were saying, what are you creating in the world? You know, and then it's like, how do I want to do that with the most fun? What would be most fun for me to create?
Yes.
You know? And I think a lot of people are kind of moving to that space of, why have I been allowing myself to be so stuck in work or in a business that does not align with me at all, or just not fun? What are you here for? To enjoy this experience. And so, yeah. And I mean, that's one of the reasons why I created the Be Seen play shop, right? It's not a workshop, it's a play shop. Because I was like, I don't want to just sit there the whole time. I want to dance. Like, what if I actually got to dance with people while we're in that partnership, right? Or like move or do these interesting creative things, you know? Let's try this out.
I can see the smart student. When you mentioned this, when you chose the name to change it from work to play shop, that's being very conscious of the meaning of the words, choosing your words carefully, because play is like, yeah, we're gonna have fun. And in the process, we'll grow, we'll learn, we'll whatever, we'll experience something. But the word work can be like, I will need to work tonight. Oh, but I'm already so tired. But when you say, yeah, we're going to have fun. Oh, yeah, after today, definitely I need some fun tonight. And then in the process, things are happening and you're learning. And then you go to sleep. And before you go to sleep, like, wow, really had fun. I had this tough day, but then we had this wonderful evening. It was so fun. And actually, I learned a lot. Wow. And it took all those steps. And isn't that the most fun way of actually growing and evolving, by just having fun in a playful way?
Yeah. So it is the very first way that you ever grew. So let me just explain that.
Little.
So, right. Yeah, right? Exactly. You literally grew and expanded and transformed yourself when you were a baby and you were a toddler and you were a child, through play. And you know, it's like the original language of the psyche or the body or the whatever, right? So why not tap into that? And it's also fun, like you said. So and often we're using symbols, you know, so for people who understand like the subconscious and the power of symbols, you know, like you're creating symbols and metaphors and, you know, things with your body, even, which has, you know, its own consciousness, its own part in the subconscious.
Yeah, and that's why you see in Scandinavia they focus a lot on playing and being creative at schools, and they're producing actually the best bachelors and the best PhD students of the world, while they have one day per week mandatory to go outdoor, not to stay in school, and they have all these playful ways of actually educating themselves. So the Yeah, they already realized, like, hey, but this is how it all started. So why should we change?
Yeah. One last thought, and then I know we've probably been on here for a while, but there is something here about, so we talked about business for a little bit and the sort of changing of energy and kind of expanding our awareness about, you know, what is money? Where does it come from? Maybe I am money and I just allow more of it, you know, like what, like just start playing with that. Right. But another thing here too, is the idea of contribution and contributing. And that it's kind of like the old principle, right? Of when I give, I receive. Mm-hmm. And so we're never like taking things, right? Like I don't need to take anything because I can receive all things, you know? And so, and as I contribute, I'm also receiving. And as you contribute to someone, or even as you pay your coach or whatever, you are receiving, you're like receiving before you've even shown up. And so, yeah, just really like start interesting to play with these things. I definitely invite people to start just like allowing themselves to expand out on what is really possible.
And it's funny to bring it back to the original subject, intimacy, the most beautiful and, yeah, actually the example I like the most is hugging. If I'm going to give you a hug, I automatically, if you allow it, I automatically receive one too. So giving is receiving. The easiest example is a hug. Go give a hug to that person. If he accepts, you're also receiving a hug at the same time. Mm. Or when you have an intimate kiss. You're both kissing, so you're both receiving the sensation. So
can't kiss the air.
So we came around.
Yeah, man. There's so much here, right? Maybe we'll have another conversation, explore some more things.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Really, yeah, I really, really appreciate this. And I really appreciate that you invited me. You know, so that was your invitation to me and I accepted.
And I'm glad you said yes. And I know you were at first like, huh? But a few people had this first reaction, like, okay, of course, because I didn't share at first what it was going to be about. Mm-hmm. And I guess more and more people will start to have the courage to come to the show because they see how accessible it is, how easy it is, because it's two people who are creating the conversation. So if you're comfortable going just two steps only, then that's how far we're going to go in the conversation. And if you're in the mood to take 10 steps, well, we'll go 10 steps like we did today. We started somewhere, we went the whole round, we went into many areas that are all connected somehow to come back to the core again. So I really encourage people to have a look at the whole video, and I'm going to cut out this piece just for people to realize, like, hey, take a moment and to see how a conversation can evolve and how talking about intimacy can bring up so many different aspects of life that we discussed. Mm-hmm. So they also get inspired. So you, the viewer, you get inspired to also have conversations, not only with me on the show, but with your friends, with your dear ones. Start a conversation and let the energy just flow freely. Because that's what we're doing in the mastermind, for example, and that's, yeah, what I did with Ann Tucker, which I think you saw that I launched it today publicly. It was on my Patreon first. Mm-hmm. And this is what we need to just be open to each other and communicate and share, and whatever comes up, will come up, because that's the thing that needs to come up now is what's going to come up now. And if we're going to talk in a month from now again, different things will come up, and maybe some of the same things, because new people need to hear it, or some people need to hear it the second time so it can land. That's okay. What needs to come up that day, let's say on the 5th of September, whatever that day is, I don't know, we're going to have a talk. Only what needs to come up then will come up. Mm. So I want to thank you very much from the bottom of my heart whatever that bottom is, I don't. It's a nice expression. I sometimes try to visualize it, like, oh, is that that point with the open heart? Is that the point at the bottom from there? I don't know. Yeah, I can visualize everything when people start talking. So sometimes, yeah, my mind goes crazy. But I want to thank you very much for being so open and so honest and direct. Like, Lotfi, you're going that way. I prefer to go that way. Yeah, fine. That's what the conversation is about. Just be yourself. And I love that you did that. That's something I want people to remember what you taught, where your background where you came from, and where you got today. To just being yourself. Expressing yourself, where you had periods where you were like, yeah, me as a woman, am I actually allowed to speak up? And today you're just like, where are you going? No, I want to go there. Perfect. Yeah. I mean, that's so beautiful to see all those differences and how people can change and really be courageous, because we talked yesterday in the workshop was about the courage and about the self-confidence. And this is what everybody can do it. I mean, if we can do it with our backgrounds, then I believe everybody can do it at some point. Just decide that you want it and you can get self-confident. You can start to express yourself. You can go on camera with potentially 1 billion people who can see you. Do you realize that 1 billion people can see this conversation, because there's 1 billion people on Facebook? And I'm not only posting on Facebook, also on YouTube. That's even more people. That's 2 billion or 3 billion people. So everything is possible as long as we want. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So where can people find you, by the way?
Okay, yes.
I'm going to put in the comments or in the description, I'm going to put, but I want them to hear it from you first.
So please, yeah, I absolutely invite you to come find me. I would love to create with you. And so it's at thedynamicway.co, thedynamicway.co. And then you can find that on Facebook, like Facebook/thedynamicway. I'm a little more active on Instagram, so Instagram/thedynamicway. But there you go.
Okay. Then please send me an email or a message with all the links that I'm supposed to share so people can find you. And see you in the next talk.
All right. Thank you.
Everyone, have a wonderful afternoon, morning, evening, whatever you're watching this, because we have all those time zones. And if you have a subject you want to suggest or you want to be on the show, man or woman, doesn't matter, please contact me. You're very welcome to join.
Yeah.
And go check out Jenny Lee's pages, whatever platform you're on, because she's sharing some really beautiful stuff. It's worth your time.
Yeah. All right. Bye. A little sneak peek of potentially what we might talk about later. I know, I felt myself like, I was like, I can go on for like another 2 hours, because there's so many other avenues of intimacy to talk about too, you know? Like, I think you originally described it as like intimacy, like sexuality and relationships and stuff. And we didn't get too far into that, but like next time, totally can. I know at least one thing that came up for me of like, oh, I didn't touch on, the masculine and feminine energy. Because, you know, like, I have kind of a different way of looking at that.
And I was not sure you wanted to go that way, so I didn't ask. It crossed my mind, but I didn't feel like, ask now.
There's a real power in labels, and also there's a real power in releasing yourself of the need for one. So, you know, like, if someone were to ask me, what's your sexuality? Or, you know, what's your identity or whatever?
Like, subscribe, and share.